Good morning. There we go. Good morning. Good morning. Everyone's doing well this morning, I trust. Isn't God good? He is good. He's good all the time, and He is speaking. Hey? This morning, I believe that I've got a word directly from heaven. I believe that God is speaking to us and has a word for us today. I believe that God is on a mission to reach our city in love. I'm very encouraged with what's happening with Love Your City this year. How many know that God's plans are bigger than ours sometimes? You know, we had an outreach up down in the park where we love our city and bless them with so many things that we do. And this year, we've had the city come to us and say that there's another event that wants to share the venue with us. And TSN basically is going to be hosting a live broadcast of their sports channel on the same day we're hosting Love Your City in the park. So what it looks like is they're doing a city celebration. And I was reading through what it looks like, and their city celebration looks like jumping castles, free food, kids' games. And our Love Your City looks like jumping castles, kids' games, face painting. Just remarkable to see how God has paired these two events to happen in the same day in the park. The city's response to us in our willingness to work with them is incredible. And it just reminded me, friends, that God's plans are so much bigger than ours. And He's on a mission to reach our city in love. Amen? And I want to look at the word this morning because I've been reading through it and just trying to get a view of how God sees our city and how He is on this mission. And I was reading through the book of Jonah because I think Jonah has a lot to tell us of this, the heart of the Father on the mission that he's on. And the story in the context, for those of you that don't know the book of Jonah, I'm going to share it so you have an idea. That Jonah was one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. And Jonah was a Hebrew, so he was a Jew. And the word of the Lord would come to a prophet who would then go and deliver the message. He was one that would carry a message. And in the story of Jonah, God gives him a message. Now, Jonah was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. He spoke primarily to nations and to the kings. He was a big deal. This is what he did for a living. It was actually a job description for him. So for him, he was raised up by God to proclaim God's purposes and God's favor for the Israelite nation. How many of you know that it's great and easy to tell people good, wonderful things? Isn't that easy, right? Sometimes God has other things for us to share. And in this particular stance, the story, we see that yes, God has great news, but it's a sobering news for a people. And he's basically raised Jonah up to deliver a message. And, you know, one of the messages Jonah had delivered previously was that this king was going to find buried treasure. Well, who wouldn't want to tell somebody that they were going to find hidden treasure? That's an easy message. This one's a little bit more interesting, and for the sake of time, I'm going to ask you guys to read the message on your own and read the whole story of Jonah. It's only 3 chapters, but for the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to tell a story. So the book of Jonah starts out in chapter 1, and we see that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the prophet. And he tells him that he needs to go to this great city of Nineveh, and he needs to take a message to them. But Jonah doesn't bother with that. Jonah hears what God says, and he actually goes in the opposite direction. He goes to a city of Tarshish. He's on a mission to go in the opposite direction of God. So he boards this ship to flee from the Lord. Then we read on, and we see that he's on the boat, and God brings a storm to the boat, and Jonah's sleeping. I don't know if you can sleep through a storm, those of you who have been on a boat, but it's pretty hard. Jonah was sleeping on the storm while the storm was happening on the boat. And the ship's captain goes to him and goes, "What are you doing? How are you sleeping? You know, you better pray to your God, because if you can sleep, something's going on here. You might know something that we don't. Why is this happening?" And the story carries on from there, and they actually realize that the storm has come because of Jonah, because he's fleeing from God. So they pick Jonah up, and reluctantly throw him in the sea because nothing else was working. And immediately calm came. And a fish, the Bible says that a big fish comes and swallows Jonah and has Jonah for lunch. But Jonah doesn't die. He's in the belly of this fish. So we're talking a pretty big fish for all you fishermen out there. But the heart of the story isn't about catching a big fish. Sorry, guys. There's more to this story. So from the belly of this fish, you can read in chapter 2, where he cries out to the Lord. You can read, he almost writes this psalm of his cry to the Lord. And the Lord, at the end of chapter 2, you see that the Lord hears his prayer, has the fish spit him out on dry land so that he can go and fulfill the call that God had given Jonah, that he can go and take the message to Nineveh. So he does it. And in chapter 3, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. This time he obeys, he goes to Nineveh, he shares the message. The people repent, they turn back to God, and God spares the city. Hooray, right? Well, you'd think that that would be how Jonah would respond and how the story ends, but it's not. Chapter 4 carries on, and Jonah's upset with God. He's upset that God is sparing this city. And you can see that he gets angry with God, and he explains that he knew that God was slow to anger and abounding in love, and that he knew God really didn't want to destroy the city. So that's why he fled from God, and he fled from what God had called him to do. I believe in this story we see God expose the heart of Jonah. Because, friends, God is on a mission. And in this story, we see God's mission to reach the city with his love. And we see Jonah wrestling with what God's mission is. And I feel like today, for us, when we look at this, we can read in the story that there's a backdrop, there's a canvas that God is painting the story on. And it's a canvas of the Father on a mission to reach a city with his love. That's the canvas. That's the painting. That's what all the color of the story is going to get put on. And we need to hear that today, that God is on a mission to reach the city. And in this story, the way he's going to do it is through the man Jonah. But friends, I want to say today that in our city, the way that he's going to do it is through you and I. And today in this story, I believe God's highlighting three distinct things for us. Three things in this story that he has for us today. I believe we can put ourselves in Jonah's shoes and that God is speaking directly to us. The first thing that I see is that he wants us to have his heart. It's the first thing. If we can't get this, we can't move on. So we've got to get this. He wants us to have his heart. I'm going to read in Jonah 3:10, and I'm going to pick up in a few different places in Jonah. So I do trust that you are going to go and take some time and read through the story yourselves. But in Jonah 3:10, it says this, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened." In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. He became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah wasn't happy. And as we continue and tell the story, you're going to understand a little bit why. But you see, Jonah was a prophet who had the privilege of relationship with God. He could stand in the presence of the Lord. In the Bible, the word presence refers to face. So in essence, Jonah the prophet was meeting face to face with God. He was the way that God would speak to the people. Jonah had an incredible privilege. You see, what's interesting to me when I read this is that Jonah, in the presence of God, meeting face to face with God, he knew the heart of God, and you can see it because he just tells God, "I knew that you were slow to anger. I knew that you were abounding in love." You see, friends, it's not enough for us to know the heart of God. We need to have the heart of God. He wants us to have his heart. I think many of us can read about and know and have reference to, but friends, when we're in the presence of the Lord, he wants us to catch his heart. He wants us to have his heart. See, Jonah clearly didn't have it, and he ran from God. He finally obeys, Nineveh's restored, and he's upset with God. When I look at this, friends, I see that Jonah actually didn't get it at all. He didn't get God's heart. He really didn't. And I can appreciate that in some respect, because the reality is that the people of Nineveh were the enemies of the Israelites. These people killed his people. So in the natural, this doesn't make sense. In their natural, I can appreciate his frustration. But you know, it's not up to us on how God wants to reach people, isn't it? God is a loving and compassionate God, and he is on a mission, whether we want to be on it or not. And he wants us to have his heart on this message, on this mission. You see, Jonah wanted the Assyrians destroyed. You know, I was reading in the message because I find sometimes it's nice to see a different perspective of the word. And I don't just read the message, but I like to look at it. And in the message, it says this. When I read Jonah 1:1-2, it says, "One day long ago, God's word came to Jonah. Up on your feet, and on your way to the big city of Nineveh, preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer." It just, for me, when I read it in that context, it really expresses the heart of God for restoration for people. You see, God is holy, and sin stands in direct opposition to him. They're never going to be friends, sin and God. It's like darkness and light. Light is always going to overpower darkness. They're never just going to share the same space. And you see, in this story, we read of a God who can't stand in the presence of sin. And his heart is that he would take people out of darkness and bring them into light. Do you see that picture? But Jonah would rather the people destroyed. Friends, I want to say that that is not the heart of our God. His heart is that all people would come to know him, that all people would be saved, that all people would come out of darkness. You know, in the Old Testament, this came through repentance and sacrifice. When people would turn to God, they would repent before God and sacrifice would come. Friends, we have such a privilege that we don't have to make sacrifice. There's nothing that we have to do. Today, we can make right with God by repentance and choosing and putting our faith in Jesus. It's so much easier. It's so much easier because Jesus became that ultimate sacrifice for you and I. You see, today, where you and I stand, we have access. We have access to relationship with God. Jonah was the one that had access to relationship with God, and he was the one that could stand face to face. As a prophet, I think what's interesting is when we read in the prophets and how they describe their relationship with God, one of the other prophets, Elijah, says it this way in the way he writes. He says, "The God before whom I stand," he's the one that had the privilege of doing that. But you know, today, friends, you and I have the privilege of standing before God. We stand before the God Almighty. That is an incredible privilege. And in that place, God wants us to have relationship. God wants us to have the Father's heart. That's his desire. You know, I feel like sometimes, depending on circumstance in life, we can have a heart of stone. Have you ever met somebody that's had a heart of stone? You know that God says that he'll give them a heart of flesh? God is so good. He wants to give us his heart. My wife brought a word last week on abiding in the vine. You see, I believe the process of us receiving the Father's heart comes in relationship with God. It comes with us being found in his presence. It comes from us abiding in that vine. But there's a responsibility on our part to receive. You know, I feel like a good picture is almost like osmosis. Like when we're spending time in the heart of the Father, when we're intimate with him, that the heart of the Father wants to come and move into our heart, and we make space for him. Jonah didn't do that, but we can do that. Jonah had the choice, and I believe that you can see in this word God's commitment to Jonah. He doesn't just forget him. You can see in this story that he's so committed to teaching Jonah his heart all the way through. Aren't you glad that that God has committed to you and I. You know, when I'm reading this, I realize that we live busy lives, hey? I feel like sometimes we limit the influence of the heart of the Father in our lives. Sometimes we want to schedule God into our time, and we want him to fit into our agenda, and we only carve out so much space, and we leave little time and space for the heart of God to come and influence our heart. Friends, this is a sober reminder for me that I can't always come to God with my list and my agenda of things that I need and I want. That actually when we come before God, that he wants us to get his heart first and foremost. Above everything else, he wants us to have his heart. Because nothing else really makes sense until we have that. You following me? This is a good word. I hope you're encouraged by it. Because the heart of the Father is for you. He is for relationship. But if we don't treat this relationship as significant, we drift apart. And I believe Jonah had drifted apart from the heart of the Father. So much so that when God spoke, that he ran in the opposite direction. In Jonah 1, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Nineveh was maybe 500 miles from here where he was. It was a big city of about 120,000. If you take Nanaimo and on the outskirts, we're probably about 120,000. I thought that was an interesting similarity. But Tarshish was 2,500 miles in the exact opposite direction that God told him to go. He was fleeing from the Lord to the farthest place he could possibly get. I thought this was interesting. You guys ever ran from God? Do you know you can't really run from God? I don't know if he's going to send a fish to come and swallow you up, but you can't run from God regardless. What's interesting in this story when I look at it is when he goes down to the city of Joppa to try and get to Tarshish, because Tarshish was like an island and it was far away, there was a fleet of ships just happened to be waiting for him heading in that direction. They just happened to be there. Do you know that that wasn't an accident? Did you know that as much as there's a loving, passionate God that is out for relationship for us and he's pursuing you and I, that there's also one that's out who's against us that wants us to run far away from God? Do you know that there really is an enemy that would love to send ships to take you away from his presence? There's all kinds of distractions. There's all kinds of things that could take us away from this loving God. It's easy. There was a whole fleet of ships. He could have boarded any one of them. For me, this was sobering because the reality is that we live in a world where we have a passionate God who's on a mission, who wants us to have his heart. But at the same time, we live amongst incredible distraction that would take us away from the purposes of God. And we need to have eyes that see. We need to have ears that hear, that when God speaks, we listen because we have his heart. And we don't run in the opposite direction. It leads me to the next thing that I see that God is teaching us in this word. I believe the first thing, as I've said, is that we would have his heart. The next thing that I see that he's teaching us as he's teaching Jonah here is that he wants us to trust him. You see, he desires relationship that we might know him. Not know of him, but that we would know him. God's desire is that we would have personal relationship with him, our creator. You know, we can't have relationship with God through someone else, through our spouse, through a friend, through a parent. You know, God doesn't have grandkids. He has sons and he has daughters. And God wants relationship with you and I. And it's in relationship that we learn to trust God. I was thinking of a funny song because, You know, we live in a world where people are out for themselves, and it's promoted everywhere. It's about us. Look after yourself first. You put yourself first. You know, we look after me, myself, and I. That's actually counter what God has created us for. And, you know, if you do chase a selfish lifestyle, you'll find that it will lead you to a place of emptiness, because we were created for something bigger than living for ourselves. But when I look at the word and I see this, I feel like some of us want to live our lives like that Frank Sinatra song. I did it my way. We want to do life our way. God's mission, well, I want to do it my way. Friends, this was a bit of an awakening for me, because even as Christians, it's so easy for us to just fly our own flag. But God doesn't want us to do it that way. You see, it's not his way or our way. It's his way or his way. Just ask Jonah. God's purposes will come to be. And when we try and do it on our own strength and in our own way, it doesn't work. How many of you have tried and will honestly admit it doesn't work when you try and do it on your own? See, look at these hands. So those of you that aren't raising your hands, learn from those around us. That, friends, we don't have to do it in our own strength and our own ability. We talked about that we find our strength in the Lord. We come with nothing, as Russ said, and God gives us everything. The first thing he gives us is his heart. And we trust him, and when we put our trust in him, friends, he doesn't let us down. But it does often look different than the way we would do it, because his ways are not always our way. His way might be to go reach the people you don't like. His ways might be to bring restoration where you want to see destruction. You see, Nineveh was the empire. It was the capital of the empire of the Assyrians, which were the enemies of the Israelites. So this was like the crux of his mortal enemy. Of course he doesn't want to go there. Who would? But God is telling him this because God has a plan and a purpose. You see, these people were an idolatrous, proud, ruthless nation. They were bent on conquering the world and selfish gain. They were what we see in the world, where it's, I need this material item, or I need to live for me and my career, where it's all about me, myself, and I. Friends, that's the opposition that we face, isn't it? When we tell people about God, most people aren't interested, because it means that they can't live for themselves any longer, because God says that we are to live for him and his purposes. But I love that God is committed to teaching us this. He's committed to teaching us that we can trust him. And you can see in this story in Jonah that he's committed to Jonah, that even though Jonah runs in the opposite direction, that God goes and seeks after him. Isn't that the heart of our God? The God that'll leave the 99 and seek out the one? That is the heart of our Father. In Jonah 3, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God gives him a second chance. I'm so glad that God gives me a second chance. And that he'll come with the same word and say, all right, you need to go. And Jonah does. He goes and he gives the word. But what's interesting to me is that Jonah actually gives the word out of duty, and he doesn't do it out of an overflow of the heart of the Father. He missed the heart of God. You see, our obedience to God must come from that overflow of relationship. We can't act and do out of duty. It doesn't work, and it still leaves us in a sour place. You can see it when we read Jonah, that even at the end, he still hadn't got it. And you can see he's still angry with God, even though he went and the people responded to God. Our heart matters. In 1 Samuel 16:7, in the ESV, it says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Friends, we can put up all the fronts we want. We can serve any way that we want. But if our heart isn't in the right place, if we don't have the Father's heart, it gets exposed before God. And you know, I find that when I don't have God's heart and I'm just doing out of duty, that actually I find myself discouraged, I lack vision, and I'm really not in a great place. But that's not the heart of the Father. He wants to see you encouraged. He wants to see you envisioned. He wants to give you passion for the purposes that he has for you. He wants us to trust in him. In Proverbs 27:19, it says, as waters reflect a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Those of you men from our men's groups, I hope you're still reading your Proverbs. That's Proverbs 27 for today. That it's the heart of man that reflects him. God looks at our heart. So you say, well, what does it mean to trust God? And without taking you on a rabbit trail, because we could talk forever about learning to trust God, because we're all on a journey, friends. I want to read one scripture in the Amplified, and it says this in Isaiah 26:4. It says, so trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of the ages. You see, when we stand firm and trust in him, the next step that he has for us is easy. But he is our firm foundation. He is the one that we can lean on. Friends, if we try and stand on anything else in this world, we're going to be let down. The Bible teaches us that it's sinking sand. We can't put our anchor in emotions. We can't put our anchor in relationships. We can't put our anchor in our careers. The only thing that we can stand firm on and sink our anchor to is the one that's unchanging throughout the ages. And that's the Father. We can trust him in all things. So as we trust God, I believe the next thing that God is saying for us in this passage is that he wants us to reach out in love. That's his desire. You know, we cannot be selfish as Jonah was. Jonah knew the heart of God. He didn't really have the heart of God. And he sure as heck didn't want to share the heart of God with his enemies. He didn't want to share his heart of God with the people that stand in opposition to him, that maybe killed his family members, that killed his people. He didn't want to stand before them and share a message of a God that wants to bring them to redemption. You see, in Jonah 4:5, it says, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. This is after God brought restoration to the people. It said, there he made himself a shelter. He sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. You see, we can wait and see. We can wait and watch to see what God will do with our city. But friends, the heart of God is that we would get involved, that we would get his heart for the city, that we would reach out in love to our city. I'll carry on in verse 6. It says, then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Jonah's a bit fickle. But at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Jonah says, it is. I'm so angry, I wish I was dead. Pretty pathetic. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? Friends, the heart of the Father is for the city. The heart of the Father is for the people. And this hit me as a ton of bricks as I read this last chapter. And I believe that God is speaking to me as much as he's speaking to you today. But friends, when I read this, I feel like the Lord is saying that we need to be more concerned about others than we are our own comfort. We need to be more concerned about others than we are our own comfort. You know, we're a people that want to look after ourselves. We want to look after our families. We want to make sure that we've got a roof over our head, that we've got food on the table, that we can provide for our kids' education, that maybe one day we can retire, that we look out for ourselves. And we can quickly be so concerned with ourselves that we disregard the people around us. And this was sobering to me because God's concern is for the lost. His concern is for the hurting. His concern is for the broken. And we lose sight that it's actually God that brings the provision, like he provided a leafy plant to keep shade for Jonah. That actually God is our provider. And we get so comfortable there. But let's not forget the heart of God in this. That his heart is that we would reach out. His desire is that we would reach out. I want to help clarify some misconceptions around outreach and around evangelism. Most people, when you say those two words, want to shrink down and kind of hide, and they don't go pick me. Because often I think we're a timid people, and actually I think that we misunderstand what the word outreach means. So let me help you. Let me help us. Outreach means, by definition, to reach beyond what is comfortable, to stretch out, to reach. It means to bless in the context of the word. I was looking at a worldly definition, and it says that it's an activity. It's something that we have to do. To reach out, providing services to a population who might not otherwise have access to services. A component is that they are not stationary, but mobile, and can provide need wherever they are. So outreach is physically going and serving and blessing and giving and doing beyond what's comfortable for us. I think often when we think of outreach, we picture the guy standing on a soapbox and he's declaring what he says is the word of the Lord, which is, you're going to turn or you're going to burn, so you better choose Jesus, because the Lord Almighty's coming riding on a death angel and he's coming for you. How many of you have heard somebody like that? I wonder if Jonah came like that to the people. I wonder. You see, the heart of the Father is that he is a loving God. And the heart behind him coming to those people is to see them restored. Yes, there's the wrath of God if we stand one day in opposition to him, if we stand without Jesus, for sure. But that isn't how he calls us to reach out. Reaching out isn't us coming and telling people that they're going to hell. Most people know that they have sin in their lives because the word says it's written on their heart. So when we see people standing on a soapbox telling people that they're worthless sinners, friends, that is not the heart of the God that I serve, and that is not the heart of the God that we see in the word. So when we talk about outreach, it's reaching out in love. It's using whatever God has placed in your hand to bless people. And you know what evangelism is? It's explaining why you do it. Evangelism is simply explaining why you do it. And why we reach out as Christians and as believers isn't to get a star or a badge. We reach out because God has impacted our lives, and we want to share that which he has for others. Because we've got the heart of God as a loving and compassionate God that wants to see people walk in relationship with him. That is why we do it. Evangelism is really simple. The word says that we should always be prepared to give an account for the hope that we have. Evangelism doesn't mean that you have to be able to explain every single word in this word. Evangelism is just explaining how God has impacted your life and the story of Jesus. It's pretty simple. You know, when we read the scriptures and people talk about evangelism, they think, well, that's only for the guy that's gifted at that. That's only for the person that's an evangelist. Did you know that when Jesus sent the disciples, that he didn't send them according to their gifting, their talent, their strengths, their ability to speak? He just sends them all. And he says, go. Go and tell them. You see, we're all ambassadors for God, and he sends us all. And we're all called to reach out in love. You see, individually, for you and I, this should be a lifestyle. And if it isn't, we shouldn't force ourselves to just make it a lifestyle and do it out of duty. We need to go back to the heart of the Father first, because when we get that, the doing's easy. You see, God's called us to be beacons of light and to impact and influence wherever we are. Remember, the picture is that God wants to bring people out of darkness and into light. Have you ever met a Christian that is so full of light that you just can't help but wonder, what is wrong with this guy? Like, he's just so nice. He's always offering to help. I had somebody like that, and that's the reason why I'm here today. When we're light to people, when we share the love of God, it impacts people's lives. It's part of our DNA. Corporately, for you and I, this is who we are. This is the kind of thing that we should be doing, reaching out in love in our small groups on Sundays, when we go sailing, when we go fishing, when we go to the store. This is just who we are. We should be reaching out wherever God has placed us. And it's not weird, friends. It can look so simple. It can look so simple. You can buy someone a coffee. You can tell them they look pretty. Don't tell a guy that. You can tell them that they have a nice smile. It's so simple. It can go bigger than that. But friends, start with something simple and see how easy it is. And see how you feel. Because actually, I think sometimes we benefit more from doing that. See, my prayer is that we, Oceanside Church, would be a community of people that do this. I think often when we think of the context of church, we think that we're on a cruise line. We think that we're all here for a party and we celebrate on Sunday and everything's amazing. And then we come back to the party next Sunday. Friends, what we're a part of is more like an aircraft carrier. We're on a mission. We have a purpose. It's to impact. It's to influence. On an aircraft carrier, we have planes with specific destinations where they launch and go and fulfill a mission and a purpose, and they come back to be refueled, to be encouraged, to be energized. And then they go back on another mission. Each one of you and I, in our workplaces, with our family, as friends, we are on a mission. I believe that what we see in the book of Jonah is God sending a man on a mission. And in the Old Testament context, God spoke through the prophet. Now we stand on the other side of the cross, where we all have the privilege of relationship with God, where God speaks to all of us, where he sends us all on mission. Aren't you encouraged that you're included? Man, I'm amazed that God would even entrust me with this. But this is our God, that he has given us a mission. He's included us, that we would love our neighbors, that we would love our schools and our city, that we would love the services, that we would pray for those in governance, those that are overseeing our city council. Friends, when things rise up that are not, they don't all of a sudden, that are not good and we don't stand for them. We don't stand in opposition like they're our enemy. They're not our enemy. We pray for them. We lead them to truth. We stand as a beacon of light. Did you know that in the Proverbs, the word says that when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. That when we stand for righteousness, the city is exalted. God has a heart for the city. Even in Jeremiah 29, it says that we're to seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Because if the city prospers, we too will prosper. This is our God. This is his desire. Amen? He wants us to reach our city in love. And yeah, we're hosting a Love Your City event. But you know, it's supposed to be a lifestyle for us as believers. Corporately, sometimes our cruise ship goes on a mission And on the 16th of August, we're going to go on a mission. Our mission is to host an event where we reach out in love and bless and impact this city. And it's really simple. We just give to a people that might not have otherwise got. We're there to just bless them. And if the opportunity arises for us to tell them why we do it, we tell them why. God is so good. His desire is to reach our city, so much so that he brings a secular group that brings a horde of people that's going to have a national broadcast in the park at the same time that we're doing this. This is the heart of our God. He's so much bigger than us. Amen? You see, in Jonah 3 verse 1, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. Friends, I want to say today that you and I have a message. It's a message of love. It's a message of hope. It's a message of grace. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of compassion. And it's a message that gives purpose. What message are you carrying? Because God has you on mission, whether you know it or not. I think in concluding for today, I want to ask if you'd stand. I want to pray for you. You see, God is on a mission for our city, and he has included each one of us. And my prayer today is that you would have the Father's heart. I hope that this is an encouraging message. Katie, my wife, last night said, "Honey, is it encouraging? Is it encouraging?" I think sometimes when we think of the word encouraging, we think it has to be soft and loving and sweet. And you know, actually the definition of courage is to put courage in. And God wants to put courage in you today. Lord, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your purposes, God, which are higher than ours. Lord, I thank you for your word that's living and active. God, that you're speaking through it today. God, that you want to demonstrate to us your heart for your people, your heart for this city. Lord, I pray today, Father, that as we leave from here, God, that we would be encouraged, Father, to come into your presence and to allow your heart to become our heart. Father, that we would receive from you. Lord, I pray for people today, Father, that maybe haven't trusted you, that struggle with that. Lord, I pray today that they would put their trust in you. And I know you'll prove faithful, God. And Lord, we want to pray for our city. God, we pray, Father, for the impact of this city, God, that your word would go forth. Lord, I thank you that you want to demonstrate your love, your kindness, your compassion. God, I pray for each one represented here, God, is that they're a beacon of light. Father, that you're standing them to attention and that you want to speak through them. And Lord, I pray today, God, as they leave from this place, Father, that they would be encouraged to reach out in love. God, that they would see how simple and how easy it is. God, I thank you that you are seeking after each one today and that you're sending them on mission. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Russ is going to come up and share with you what's happening next. Bless you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks, Paul. I wonder if you wouldn't mind taking your seats for a moment.